If you would, find Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're in our series, Switch, A Beautiful Transformation. I think it'll be obvious. You'll see the switch in these two verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship, or you may have learned reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this age or this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, you look over all of us today. You see me differently. I'm your teacher, your preacher. You're harder on me than anybody in this room. You expect more of me than anybody in this room. I'm under a greater and a more strict judgment. And I by you, and I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. In our series of Switch, we're talking about a transformation. Today I'm going to give you two areas of transformation that happens when you come to Christ, and they complement each other. You may think, wow, there's a big difference. There really isn't that big of a difference. It's complementary. I want to begin by looking at verse 1. I want to remind you in our series, I'm always going to bring emphasis that we're working from victory, not for victory. If you're in Christ, you already have victory. It's not that I practice generosity and prayer and fasting during Lent so that I can be victorious. We're already victorious, and we work from the point of victory already. So in verse 1, Paul already has this in mind of who we are in the Lord. So he begins by saying to you, and I love to just work the sequence of the scripture itself. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, he's calling us believers. He's talking to believers. Obviously, he includes the women in here too, even though he just addresses brothers, all of us. And he reminds us of God's mercy. I'm definitely need to be reminded of his grace. I can't be saved any other way. But I also need to be reminded of his mercy. Grace is what he gives to me that I don't deserve. But God's mercy is what he holds back what I rightfully deserve. Now, we just need to be reminded that Paul is doing that here. By the mercies of God, he is holding back what we rightfully deserve, even as punishment is what I mean. And we love him for this. I do. His grace, absolutely. I just don't want to leave out his mercy. And he says, I urge you, which means he's encouraging. He's actually like saying, join me in this. And what's he asking us to join? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I really pray that all the time in our general prayer. Don't know if you pay attention to it, especially the offering time, where I'm saying we bring our offerings, whether electronically or we bring them with us this morning, which I left mine on the desk. I'll go ahead and, it's written out, so give me half credit, okay? But it'll get here. I went to fill in my pocket and it wasn't there. So hopefully I can text Julie and get it here so I can stay righteous with the Lord, right? So we pray over offerings that we bring to the Lord. But then I also include you. You are an offering to the Lord. And that is what Paul is emphasizing here. We present our bodies to him to use. It's another day. The day that he gives us to live is another day of commitment to him. It's another day of an opportunity to live for him. And this living sacrifice that we're talking about is in conjunction to the Old Testament of what they were able to see in the death of animals as a sacrifice. And it's not us dying anymore as much as it is he died for us and we become a living sacrifice. And it's a holy life. You and I need to look at our lives. I think what's happening today in our culture is there's just a huge devalue of life. It doesn't mean anything anymore. And you and I need to take each day, literally each day. There are some things that Julie and I are planning in our life, and we pull back from it a little bit because we'll see, you know, we'll see. If those plans will come out. Some of them are way on down the road. We just don't know. And I have the time that I have now, and I want to give this body to him because he gave his body for me. He lost his life so I could have mine was one of the lyrics we just sang in one of the songs. So to live this way is a holy way. It's a way of faith and trust in him. And I emphasize daily. It's a daily look. This is the day that the Lord has made. And it's just not for me to be me. It's for me to live it for him because of all that he has done. And he says that, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is your spiritual worship. I learned it growing up, reasonable service. It's the same difference, but let me just say this to you in a common sense way. Is that too much to ask for what he has done for us? You know, is it too much to just say, I've given you another day and let me use you in it? For all that he has done for us, is that too much to ask of us? Whatever it is you're doing, live your day, make your living, provide for your families. But it's a day he made. You and I didn't tell the sun to come up this morning, even though it was beautiful. You and I didn't do that. He did that. So it's another day for him. Is it? And I like it, even though it says spiritual worship, and it means that. I like to resonate. It's just reasonable service to him. It's not too much to ask that he did this for me. Can I just not live this day in honor of him? So this is the first step. We're going to handle three things. I'm going to give you two different points of transformation. But in Romans 1 and 2, I'm going to give you three ways that we walk through that transformation. So the first one is we offer our bodies to the Lord. It's his. I'm going to use this. You work in me and through me. And just let our day emerge from that. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Conforming here is a picture of it moving slowly. Conforming is there's a change that happened in me and I'm just not recognizing it. It's a gradual change. It's talking about of this age, meaning the world. It becomes in a worldly way. You get to thinking. You'll see God's word, but then you'll hear this group and that group and this belief system, and you become confused because we're not bringing it back to the word of God, and you'll end up believing anything. I'm just going to tell you. I'll show you that in just a moment in scripture, that we'll end up believing some of the craziest things you can ever imagine in your life. And it's the conforming is it just happens slowly and it happens gradually. It happens gradually. It's without notice is what I'm trying to say. And it becomes very difficult to think that I've changed. Now we need to change, and we're going to handle that in a moment with transforming, but we need to not conform. We need to watch out how that happens. It's a picture of the world outside is beginning to affect my soul inside. The outside is absolutely slowly grinding away and changing me when it comes to the inside. Now, the opposite of that is the next line, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This transformation has a quicker process to it. Even though it doesn't just happen overnight, you and I know there's a time that we go through and maturing in the Spirit and in His Word, but it's the Word we get metamorphoses from. There is a change that happens. It's got a quicker attitude about it. It's the inward side, is the inward part of us is changing the outside. Conforming is the outside is affecting the inside. Transforming is the inside is affecting the outside. I recently did this with just some older adults that don't go to our church, a place where I was ministering. And I prayed a prayer that included thanksgiving, and they were like, you know, thank you for doing that. And here's what I said to them. I said, being thankful will change the whole temperature of a room. It'll change it. Find something to be grateful about, and it will absolutely change the whole atmosphere. And I believe that because we live in our culture that's just expecting to be ungrateful. And that's just the way we are. But when you start giving thanks, it's transformative. And you're going, what's that have to do with this? Well, Scripture, the Spirit of God and the Word of God help in the transformation process of the inner man in me that affects outward, that absolutely affects outward. He does that. He does that in our life. And we allow Him to be able to do that. It's our character. It's our conduct. It's what we believe is how we behave. Yes? What we believe is how we behave. And so it's about what's going on inside me affecting the world that is around me. And it leads to a renewing. Where I could say the old Jeff would have done this, I can say now in Christ, the new Jeff is going to do this. And it will look like complete opposites there. So the transformation is a renewing and a renewing of our mind. We're being fed God's truth instead of Satan's lie. There's a big awakening that happens in our mind and even in our heart and even in our soul. Look at Ephesians 4 for just a moment. Ephesians 4 verses 22 through 24. Look at what I just said, and let's take it to His Word. You took off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. You're being renewed in the spirit of your minds. You put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness and righteousness, and in purity of the truth. We live this way. You see the old and the new. Now, I can't handle this like a New Year's resolution. I have to do this with the Spirit of God being the motivating factor in all of this. It's the difference between old self and new self. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all, with unveiled faces, are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. So I've got a new day today. I've been given a new day today. My whole day is just to reflect the image of God wherever I go. I mean, do I get frustrated? I don't know if you all remember this. But there was a few years ago, there was a guy who was testing out his new Mustang. I think Chuck will remember this. And he was testing out his Mustang while church was going on, first service, in this straightaway right here. From up that straightaway that goes at the curve right here toward Farmdale Baptist, all the way down to the office. And man, he was getting it. I don't know if he's looking to buy it. I don't know what he was doing. I just remember Bill and Glenda Zoff were pulling out and they almost got hit. And I just got madder than fire. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I got mad. And so he was still doing it. And after the second service, I had a big old 2500 HD diesel truck, extra horsepower in it. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands, pure hearts, and a four-wheel drive, right? And I mean, that truck, I don't have it any longer, but that truck would get it. And I, after the second service, he was still doing that. And I thought, I even had Chuck. It reminded me, we were like our own private investigating team. If he heads toward Frankfurt, you get his license plate number. And, you know, we're talking back and forth. I mean, I chased that guy. I peeled out of here. I slung stuff in my truck cab. It's all over the place. And my truck is a moving office, basically. And I had stuff scattered. I chased him down there, and he enjoyed every bit of it. I get it now, you know. But I'm going to find you. I'm going to get you. And he makes a U-turn. I make one, too, and I'm sliding, you know, and I'm that big diesel going, and I'm going back after him, and, you know, back and forth. And I look back, and I just was acting a fool, you know. I let my anger get the best of me. We've got to stop in times like, even like that. I could have hurt myself. I could have hurt somebody else. But I just let my old self react for just a moment. And we finally did get the license plate number, and we'll just leave the rest of it to the past. But my point is that it's got to change me. It's not saying that you and I don't have moments like that occur in our life, but we have to check them. We've got to check them. It could have been detrimental to somebody else. But out of my I'm going to get you attitude, it wasn't the best thing in the world for me to be able to do, all right? So his word and his spirit is still changing us. So if somebody does that in this service, you can chase them. I'm not going to, all right? I'm going to let it go. I want you to see there's a difference that happens. My day that he's given me today, my living sacrifice is to reflect him. Is to be a reflection of who he is. So the first thing we do is we give our bodies. The second thing we do is that our minds are changed. We offer him our minds to be renewed. The Philippians 2 talks about having the mind of Christ is a way that we go. So go back to verses 1 and 2, Romans 12, if you will, please. So that we give him our minds. There's a renewal that happens there. And it is old and new. It is, what should I do here? How should I react here? And I'm confessing to you, I did need to react the way that I did. The third step that we offer to him is our will. I'll go to verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age. We've handled that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've handled that. Now we're handling the third part of that. So that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Sometimes we have it already, like for example, when I was growing up, if you were called to ministry, you were called to preach. And it really didn't mean anything else. But my goodness, the Lord has so many calls in our life. So many angles into the call into our life, not just necessarily a few, but of how we can minister and what we can do and how we can be a part of that. Through being a living sacrifice, you and I are having our minds transformed to be like him. We focus on him, yet we're able to discern and understand the will of God. What is the will? And it's not just necessarily for your entire life. It's what is the will of God for this moment? What would be pleasing and honorable to him? He says, so that you may know that complete will of God, that good and pleasing will of God. And it will be good. God is good. What he calls you in is good, but it also gives him honor and glory. But here's the key. When we offer our will for his will, we're able to discern. You're going, well, I can't figure it out. Well, you can figure it out. Through his word and his spirit, you can figure it out. We're able to discern and bring daily surrender to our bodies, to also let His word and His spirit control our minds, and then let His will become my goal. It becomes my goal. I just want you to see the switch here in verses 1 and 2 in Romans 12. Do you see the switch from I'm just hypnotized walking through life, and there's a switch to being a living sacrifice? Is it too much to ask that He allows me to reflect the image of Him because of all that He's done for me? I don't think so. We give our bodies. The other switch is, not only do we give our bodies, but we let our minds be changed. And then when that happens, you and I are able to discern what the will of God is. There are things in your life that, as I'm just going to pick on Tyra and Jerry for a moment and just adopting Cord, or I can do that with the Buchanans or several people here. What's God's will for this situation? What does He want me to do? So it's not just about one call for all of life. It's just, it can be momentary, situational. What is God's will for me to do? I just want you to see the switch. In Christ, I go from just living my life aimlessly to reflecting who He is. Then look at 1 Corinthians 13:11. This is where they complement one another. Still the writing of Paul. It is also the love chapter of explaining what love is and what love does. Also, it speaks about the gifts. We'll talk about that in a second. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and when I became a man, I put away childish things. Obviously, you can see the switch here of what happens to us. In this, Paul is making even a reference to prophecies and tongues and knowledge. It's in verse 8, if you're interested, in that even those things will fade away. Those things will fade away. We put a lot of stock in them sometimes, and the Holy Spirit uses them and He assigns them. But we also know that they're not meant to be forever. And He gives the picture of that, of going from a child to becoming an adult. He says they're passing away. So he uses this childlike illustration. And if you're in our Wednesday night class, you're going to hit on this, that when you're led by the Spirit, it's forward and upward, right? He's moving us forward and upward, and this is a picture of that. But he said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child, and then I became an adult. A living sacrifice adult is the picture here. Listen, can I say this to you? Can we please stop acting like junior high kids? Please. Just quit reflecting like a junior high boy and a junior high girl. You know, we're grown people. And I'm just going to tell you, I've pastored grown up children. They weren't mature in the Lord. They were just older children. And they acted like older children. From where they sat to their chair to that's my window. And it goes, y'all understand, I was in a building project and we couldn't build because of what so-and-so had engraved on a piece of marble. And you understand what I'm saying? And it just goes on and on and on that we act like this. It's too hot, it's too cold, it's too loud. You guys go to louder stuff than this. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And it all comes down to the point of it's all about me. And we just act like junior high boys and junior high girls. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. When I became a man and an adult, I put aside childish things. And I put aside childish ways. You automatically see this. But listen, folks, be careful what you say. Be careful what you write. Be careful about that. James says the tongue is very destructive and harmful and hurtful. It's hard to control, hard to tame. Scripture says be slow to speak. The scripture says, be slow to speak. And the third point, the scripture says, be slow to speak. Be swift to hear. Slow to anger. We're quick to speak. We don't hear, and we're quick to anger. Completely the opposite of the Spirit of God. And we got to stop that, because there's been a switch in our life. I'm no longer that. I'm that passage in Ephesians. I'm no longer the old Jeff. There's times he tries to resurrect you too. But I've got to check that. I've got to learn to check that. And we will. We all have our moments, but just don't live in them forever. And Paul's also given the picture here that when you... what's in store for us in our adulthood and our maturity in Christ is that we only fully know. I mean, we only partially know. He says we look through a glass dimly, and the only mirror they had was polished metal back then. So you saw a faint image of yourself, not a complete image like we have today. And he said, it is a faint image, but one day we will fully know. Again, it's the spiritual. We're moving forward and upward as we're handling our Wednesday night time of study. And instead of me being quick to respond, you know, we already, some of us can coach better than Mark Pope, you know. Some of us are great at leading nations already. And you've never led one. You can't even lead your subdivision. You know, we only know in part now, but he says one day we will fully know. And it's the maturity of all that. One day we will fully know. So I want you to see that Paul using this, I did all that like a child, now I've become a man, I put aside childish things, is the same thing is when children wake up in the morning, they're thinking about themselves. When you and I wake up in the morning, we're thinking about, this is the day that the Lord has made. And it's very reasonable for him to ask me to reflect him today instead of reflecting myself today. And in that, for all that he has done for me, that's not too much to ask. And that he does continually in this process transform us through his word and through his spirit. And then it also helps us to discern the will of God. A child is only thinking about themselves. When we grow up in adulthood, we're thinking about, he gave his life so I could have mine. And today is a day, another day that he has given us. And I'm going to rejoice in it, be glad in it, and I'm going to reflect him in it today. It's a complete mind switch, a complete life switch. In this, we put away childish things. Folks, let's just be blessings to people. Whether we agree with them or not, just bless people and encourage people. Find a way to be able to do that with your life. So we watch what we say and even what we write. Look at Ephesians 4, 11 through 15 in closing. It says, and he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Just keep that for a moment. Do you see the A in apostle, the P in prophet, the E in evangelist, the teaching there? It becomes a picture of ways of studying. Pastored would be shepherd, actually. So there's a movement called APEST, and APE, and then the pastor there would be shepherd, and would be shepherding, and then the T would be teacher, that he has given that to the church. Verse 12, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry. And look at this, it's not to tear down, it's all to build up the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man, with a statured measure by Christ's fullness, then we will no longer be children. We will no longer be children. tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching. You hear me? Be careful. Not everybody out there is telling the truth. By human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, who's Christ. Okay? That's who we are. Both child to adult in the maturity of Christ matches Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm a living sacrifice in my body. I'm letting Him transform my mind. And then I'm also surrendering my will for His. And that becomes a day to reflect who He is. I know down deep inside, you want to do this or you wouldn't be here. But just go do it. Don't let it be a theory or a philosophy or some idea. Go live this and watch what happens. You, God will use you to change a room and to change a life and to give Him honor and to give Him glory. Amen? Take that with you today. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over our people today. Lord, I pray that we take this process seriously. That you made this day. I'm going to reflect to you this day, not me. Lord, you give us situations, you give us lifelong callings, as we read in Ephesians 4, but you give us situational callings, Lord. And let's begin there. I pray that our people would just begin there and do where they practicing this, Lord, where they live and where they work and where they play and where they learn, that they just do it there. You made today. Thank you, Lord. But you also made me, and you made me to look like your son. And I pray that we reflect him today. And that's not too much to ask. For all that he's done for us, I will live this day for him. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Church, would you stay in? Counselors, would you find your spot? The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come today. Okay.